Thank you for that musical number. That was really beautiful. Good morning, everyone. The trick's going to be if the rest of us can keep you awake at this early hour. I'm really pleased to be able to talk to you guys today about some of the things that I've learned in the sports programs here at BYU-Idaho. Just a little bit about myself. One of the reasons I actually came to this school was because of the sports programs. I was really excited at the opportunity I would have to actually get to play my favorite sport and to get to play hockey while up here. And so that's been a real blessing to me, and that's what drew me to the school in the first place. We have the wonderful opportunity to get a great education here at BYU-Idaho. We're able to learn the things we need to prepare to go make a living and to do something that we love. Part of that education that we get here at BYU-Idaho, part of that can't be learned in the classroom. And I really believe that the other part of that comes from the sports programs, and the things that we learn there are lessons that will stay with us and lessons that are very important for us to learn. In my opinion, everyone at the school should get involved in the sports programs at some point because of how wonderful it is. And I'd like to share scripture from Mosiah 3:19. It says, "For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever, unless he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." And this kind of encapsulates the lesson that I've learned from the sports program here. Because I think before I understood what this scripture meant, but now I understand it to kind of a new aspect. Because beyond just learning how to play a sport if we've never played one, or learning how to be a team player, which is another valuable lesson we can learn, the opportunity we can have to open up this facet of our lives is really big. Because I always tell our hockey guys, if you can learn how to control your temper and control yourself while on the ice, you can control it in whatever that you do in your life, because those are the intense moments and those are the times that you forget. And what this has opened up for me is I've learned more deeply what it means to put off the natural man, because the first year I played up here, and even when I coached, it was really easy for me to just fly off the handle when something didn't go my way. When the refs made a poor call on my guys, it was easy for me to lose my temper. And of course, we all want to stay intense in our sports and our activities. But I think that there comes a line that we learn about, and the line that we know where we're acting the way that the Lord wants us to. Because when we leave here, we're going to go have our families, and most likely a lot of you are going to end up coaching your children's basketball teams and all that kind of thing. And it's, I think, very good for each and every one of us to learn where that line is. That way, when someone calls our kid out and gets a penalty, that we learn how to not lose it, and that we can keep our composure and act and handle these things in the way that the Lord wants us to. Because this is what we learn here at BYU-Idaho, is to become disciples of Jesus Christ. And we really learn how to do that in a different way than we've ever learned before through the sports and activities. And I would encourage each and every one of you that have just, you know, started playing, or even if you're getting a little more involved in that, to keep going, because the lessons that you learn from the program, just they keep on going at every level. And the lessons that you're going to get from moving on and, you know, moving into coaching, or there's many different things that the students can get involved with in the sports program. And I encourage you to take advantage of those, because the lessons you'll learn will stick with you for the rest of your lives. And I testify that the programs here are inspired of God. I've really enjoyed the opportunity to kind of move along in the hockey program. It's the only program that I've really been involved with. But I've been involved with a lot of the same people throughout the whole time. And the transformation that these people go through from the beginning till now, it's amazing what kind of people they've become and the skills that they've attained. And I testify that all of you can learn those lessons. And I'm very grateful that you're here. These programs wouldn't be going without you, and they're a lot of fun, and we learn a lot, and I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
How high does this thing go, Drew?
Oh, this is it? Oh, man.
Good morning. I appreciate y'all coming out this morning to hear me talk. I know that's why you're here. All right. Well, I got one. I want to speak to you for a moment about participating in the league, and I want to share with you a scripture and the story of someone else who is a participant as well. But first, let me say this. Some of you have served missions. Some of you are going to serve missions. And some of you will have opportunities and blessings to be a member missionary. I want to share with you the story of Enoch, found in the book of Moses in chapter 6. And just to give you some introduction, the lineage of Enoch is that they were participants. And it says in chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "And they were preachers of righteousness, and spake and prophesied, and called upon all men everywhere to repent, and faith was taught unto the children of men." The family and lineage of Enoch, they were all participants. And so eventually it came time for Enoch to participate in the gospel and to share everything that he knew to be true and good in his life. And we all know the story. The Lord calls him while he's still a young man in his 60s. And the Lord, when he calls him to a mission, the Lord gives him these commandments. And if you don't have your scriptures, I encourage you to listen to the commandment, to the promise, and to the assurance that the Lord gives Enoch at the time of his calling. In verse 32, it says, "And the Lord said unto Enoch, Go forth and do as I have commanded thee, and no man shall pierce thee. Open thy mouth, and it shall be filled, and I will give thee utterance, for all flesh is in my hands, and I will do as seemeth me good." Now, as I mentioned, some of you have served missions, some of you are going to serve missions, and some of you will be member missionaries. For those of you who have served missions, you're probably familiar with the phrase, "open thy mouth." As a missionary in Illinois, my mission president gave us the commandment, or invited us to open our mouths. And he promised that as we did so, we would find more teaching opportunities than we had previously found through any other means. And as I went through this, it was true. We found so many new people to teach and to testify to and to bring to the gospel. And so I want to share with you a story of someone who opened their mouth in regards to participating in the sports and activities program here at BYU Idaho. I think it was about a year and a half ago or so. I was walking through the MC, and as I was walking through, if you're familiar with the side here that's closest to the tailor, you'll know that that's where people stand and hand out flyers, and you try and go by there as fast as you can because you don't want a flyer. You don't want to look at these people, and you know they're going to invite you to do something. And that's exactly what happened to me. I was hustling through, and a young man stops me, and he says, "Hey, are you playing basketball?" I said, "No." He says, "Well, do you want to play basketball?" And I said, "No." I said, "I can't play basketball. I'm a terrible ball player." And he says, and he looks a little bit discouraged, and he says to me, "Well, what about coaching?" I just said, "I don't want to play basketball. Why are you inviting me to coach?" He says, "Well, I need a coach." And I said, "Okay, well, I'll think about it." And I'll tell you, I'll be forever grateful to Andrew Wallentine for opening his mouth in the hallway of the MC, for inviting me to come and coach with him. That's an experience that has since changed my life as coaching and being a director in this program has given me new opportunities and challenges that have helped me learn new talents that I never knew I had. And I promise you that those same things can be offered to you if you will only open your mouth. If you're just a player in the league, I invite you to invite someone new who has never played in the league before. If you're a coach or someone in an administrative role, I invite you to look for someone and invite them to stretch and to grow. Again, just as the Lord promised Enoch, he said, I will give thee utterance, open thy mouth, and it shall be filled. You don't have to know what to say to anyone to invite them to come and play or to participate. You just need to share what you know is true. Share your own experiences. And I promise you that the Lord will give those words power and authority, just as he promises his missionaries. And then real quick, I want to remind you of the assurance that the Lord gave Enoch and that he also gives us. He says, for all flesh is in my hands, and I will do as seemeth me good. I know that this program was instituted by the Lord because it was instituted by a prophet of God. I know that it was instituted for our benefit and for our opportunities to learn, to grow, to become the people that we want to be after we leave BYU-Idaho. And it's a tremendous blessing to be a part of this program. And again, if you have not yet had that opportunity, I invite you to look for those opportunities. There's always room for a coach or for someone in an administrative role. There's always an opportunity to be an assistant and to learn and to grow so that you can one day become a director or a coordinator or a coach, whatever it is. And I promise again that as you do that, you will gain new experiences, new opportunities that will help you and help you grow. And I just wanted to share that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We really appreciate Sierra and James and Ryan for participating in the program and also for their leadership this semester in competitive sports. Just going hand in hand with the invitation that both James and Ryan made to get involved in leadership, if you'll refer to the back of your program here with me, we have written down the available leadership positions for the spring semester. And so there's obviously going to be different sports offered, and we're needing some coordinators for the various sports still, and also on the operations side, you'll see that list of positions we still need to fill. And so we would invite anyone who's looking to get involved to serve and help out that you can apply. And most of those applications can be done online through the activities tab on the webpage. And if you can't find that, just email me. I have my email address right there if you're looking to get involved. We'll now proceed with the program. We have the opportunity of hearing from Brother Kevin Redd. He's one of our advisors. And I asked him what I should say to introduce him, and he just said to mention that he's married with two kids. So that's obviously what's most important to him. And he'll be our closing speaker, and after he's done, we'll sing hymn 270, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go, and the closing prayer will be offered by Chris Yurko.
I invited him to prove how short I was. To begin with, I just want to tell a couple stories, let you know a little bit about myself. In high school, I had a volleyball coach. I played volleyball, and we would go to tournaments, and of course, being in high school, we did not go to bed at a good time and stayed up late and had lots of fun that you do in high school. And then the next morning we would pay for it as we got up to go play. So my coach developed a tool that he called a wake-up call. What he would do is, as we got there, as we got changed, we were ready, getting ready to play, he'd have all of us gather around him, and then he'd come up to us and he goes, "It's time for the wake-up call." And all of us would just start to cringe because we knew what was coming. But what he would do is he'd walk up to us, take his hands, and just clap right on our cheeks as hard as he could. So if there's anyone that needs a wake-up call, come on up and I'll demonstrate. No? Okay. And inevitably, no matter how, whenever it happened, there was always one person that got it twice. He'd always go around everyone. And it's like, "All right, your turn." And everyone's like, "No, I already got it." And he's like, "Too bad, you get another one." So one of us was always really awake at the start of the games. So that's a little bit of experience that I've had in the mornings, and I've learned to wake up on my own since then. A little bit more about myself. I grew up in Canada. I grew up on a farm outside a very small town, and being in a small town, I went to a really small school. And when people think small, some of you think, 500, 400, something like that. My high school had 15. So I'm talking small. The town I grew up in, the high school had 15. And being that my school is so small, the offerings that were given there were very limited. I played basketball, I played volleyball, badminton, ran track and field. And then I took the opportunity to play other sports as often as I could. I played softball, football, soccer, and of course, being from Canada, had the opportunity to play hockey occasionally. Most of the times, my opportunities to play those were at recess or at breaks or whatever with the 5 or 6 other boys that were in school. So my experiences were a little bit different growing up that way. And being in such a small school, we had limited resources. Part of the reason we could only play basketball and volleyball is you really only need 5 or 6 players, which you take the student body, divide it in half, half are guys, half are girls, we're about at 5 or 6 players. So that's what I did. I grew up at that time playing those things. I brought some pictures so you guys can laugh at me. Here's me. Using my limited resource, I probably wore that uniform for every sport I played. That's my volleyball uniform, even though it's a basketball uniform. So I went through that, had those opportunities. Because my school was small, when I got into high school, I had the opportunity to choose to go to a different school. So I chose to go to the bigger school that was about 30 miles away. And again, when I say bigger, it had about 300 people in it, which going from 15 is significantly bigger. But there I had the opportunity to participate in teams that were made of all guys. Because my school was so small, there was a couple years that my basketball team had 2 girls on it, and we would go play all the other teams, and some of them would make fun of us and, do what junior high kids do, which is at the time I was doing that. So I looked forward to the opportunity to go to this school where I had the opportunity to participate on some teams. And again, some more pictures of my high school days. I played volleyball and basketball in high school. And again, me playing volleyball, and the picture of the happy team up there is when we just won a tournament saying we could go to provincials, which is the equivalent of going to state. And we're all quite happy about it as it appears. At the beginning of the year, we had 2 seniors on that team, so my coach graduated pretty much his whole team and brought a whole bunch of us juniors in that really didn't know what we were getting into, so he had no expectations for us, and we ended up winning our first match against the previous league champion, and it kind of surprised our coach a little bit, and it kind of got us going a little bit, so throughout the season a little bit, we decided if we go to provincials, we're all going to shave our heads. So that's why we all have shaved heads. A disclaimer, myself and one other guy, we kind of had our hair cut that way for the whole season. So they were trying to be more like us. Mainly the other guy, because he was really good. And as I grew up, I wasn't exactly this dominating figure you see before you. I was fairly small through most of my life. To illustrate, when I turned 14, I still wasn't 5 feet tall, and I had, which challenged me in the sports I picked to play. I picked basketball and volleyball, and for whatever reason, I picked tall people sports, and I wasn't tall. Part of it was the size of my school, where I didn't have a choice in what I picked. Later on, my brothers and I, we realized that other sports, short people actually play other sports and are successful at those, but it was too late for us at that point. So again, I played volleyball, I played basketball. The picture on the right, I made it to the front page of the newspaper a couple times. The problem with making it to the front page of the newspaper is it brought bad memories. I missed that shot, made it on the front page of the newspaper. Another one, I got front page of the newspaper because I'm getting elbowed right in the face, and I'm making this great face as I, you know, framed on the front page of the newspaper. So anytime I made the front page of the newspaper, it had something else going with it. The one on the left, being that I wasn't the tallest and the fastest and all that, I tried my hardest to hustle and do the kind of the dirty work and really do that kind of stuff. This is probably one of my favorite pictures of when I participated. I just took a charge, and it's just, that was kind of the way I embodied, or the way I figured my playing abilities. I'm there, I do the dirty work, and I'm glad to do it to help out the team. So that's one of them. From my experiences growing up, I've always wanted to coach and to teach and do that. And my first experiences sitting on the bench was when my father coached my older brother, and I was probably in grade 3 and fairly young, but I tagged along and I kept stats. So that was my first experience on the bench and kind of gaining a love for coaching. When I got into high school, when I was playing, I actually have a perfect coaching record when it comes to high school basketball. My junior year, we went to a preseason tournament, and I'll explain the coaching pose in a second, but we went to a preseason tournament and we were playing along. It was in the second half, and my coach turns to me as I'm sitting on the bench and he goes, "If I get kicked out, you got to coach the rest of the game." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, okay, whatever." And then he proceeds to stand up, walk over to the official, and get kicked out of the game. And I was just like, "Oh." He walks by and goes, "Okay, here you go, good luck," and walks out the door. And I'm sitting there on the bench, and, you know, team all comes over. I'm like, "Well, let's go play." So sent the guys that are out there back out there, and we finished the game. We ended up winning, so we had a lead beforehand, but we ended up winning still. So that's my perfect coaching record in high school for basketball. My wife gives me a hard time because when I coach, or anytime I'm on the bench, I assume that pose. My hand's always right around my mouth, right up here. I'm bent over like that, and I'm always like that. So that's my coaching pose. She took a bunch of pictures of me as I coached volleyball in high school, and probably 90% of them were that pose. So that's my coaching pose. I used to get a lot more comments about my gray hair. Maybe I just look a lot older now, but I'll explain a little bit about my silver hair. I always referred to it as silver hair. That was a little bit different, you know, stood out a little bit. This little patch I have there, it started probably when I was about 14, and a humorous story to go along with it. I was playing volleyball, coach called a timeout, just yelling at us as a team. All of a sudden she stops, looks at me, and she goes, "You have gray hair." I'm like, "Yes, I do." And then went back from the timeout and started playing again. But in the middle of just lecturing us and, you know, trying to get us to step up and really play hard, you know, all of a sudden, "Oh, you have gray hair." I'm like, "Yes, I do." So So it's a distinguishing thing I've had for a while. The rest of it has caught up since, and I'm continuing that. To really get into my talk, I'd like to start by just asking a few questions that I hope to answer in my comments today. And the questions are, why are we here today? More specifically, why are we here on Earth? Why are we here at BYU Idaho? And why are we participating in competitive sports? In the pre-Earth life, I wanted to become like my Father in heaven. And God knew that in order for us to grow and gain knowledge, we had to leave his presence for a while. Two plans were presented, and we were given the opportunity to pick a team. And we chose the Savior's team. And this is stated in a quote from Elder Joseph B. Worthlin. In a premortal council at which we were all present, the Savior led the forces of good against those of Satan and his followers. In a battle for the souls of men that began before this world was formed, let me reread that again. In a premortal council at which we were all present, the Savior led the forces of good against those of Satan and his followers. In a battle for the souls of men that began before this world was formed. And that conflict continues today. We were on the side of the Lord, and we were on the side of the Lord today. So as part of the plan God prepared for us, he sent us to earth to experience the joy as well as the pain of mortal life. When we were born, our spirits received mortal bodies, giving us the opportunity to have families and to develop mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. President Monson talks about mortality by saying, "Mortality is a period of testing, a time to prove ourselves worthy to return to the presence of our Heavenly Father. In order for us to be tested, we must face challenges and difficulties. We can rely on the faith and testimony of others only so long. Eventually, we must have our own strong and deeply placed foundation, or we will be unable to withstand the storms of life which will come." And I'm not keeping up with my slides. Elder Anderson gave us four things we can do to build that foundation. We must study the scriptures, we must pray, we must worship, and we must be willing to follow Jesus Christ by serving one another. And I have been given the opportunity to prove myself in mortality at this time, and this is why I am here. Everyone has a story to tell about why they were here at BYU Idaho. Some of you may have had miraculous miracles. Some of you may not know those miracles yet. And in my case, I found out those miracles much later. I came to Ricks College. It was Ricks College when I first came here for a semester before my mission. And while I was on my mission, my family moved from Canada to Utah. When I returned home from my mission, I began working and decided that I wanted to go home. You know, I wanted to go back to Canada and go to school. I applied and was accepted and was ready to go back to school there. And before I left for school, my dad got a new job. And it ended up that they would be moving in the middle of my brother's senior year. So I stayed on and worked, and my brother decided to work really hard and finish up early and actually graduate from high school in the middle of the year. So he finished at Christmas. And then my brother and I both decided to come up to Ricks College. It was a great opportunity to be with my brother and to experience college days and college life with him and to be able to learn and to grow at this university at that time. As I got up here, I got involved in the intramural program. I enjoy sports, and as I was looking through the catalog, I found an officials class. And who wouldn't want to be an official? So I signed up for the class. And I also got involved with the Ricks College volleyball team. It was during the off season, and they were practicing every day. And I came in one day to play some volleyball, and one of the team members was there playing and invited me to come to the practices. They were looking for more people to play so they could just kind of scrimmage and get better. And I played with them, practiced with them for the rest of that semester, and at the end I was invited to be the team manager and to help with the team. So that summer, I went back to Utah to work, and on June 21st, 2000, President Hinckley announced that Ricks College would become BYU-Idaho, and that BYU-Idaho would phase out its involvement in intercollegiate athletics and shift its emphasis to a year-round activity program designed to involve and meet the needs of a diverse student body. So I barely got this job, the best job in the world. I got to go travel with a college team, and then I find out that we're not gonna do this anymore. Ricks College is no longer gonna have intercollegiate sports. Luckily for me, I got in and had 2 years to go before they phased it out. Just a little bit of explanation. The 2000 team, the first year I helped, we were ranked in the top 10 in the nation. And in our conference, we had the national champion and the third place team. And to go to nationals, we had to beat the team that ended up winning the national championship. So the Ricks College had a very good program at the time. A lot of their sports were nationally ranked, and we had a number of national champions at that time. And then 2000 year, we finished third in the conference, I believe, and enjoyed that. But so I helped out with that. And then at the end of intercollegiate athletics, I had extra time on my hands. They practiced there 5 days a week, and I was involved in all the practices. And it came to the point where that was done, and I had all this extra time on my hand. So I knew that this activities program was starting up, so I decided to volunteer myself to get involved with it. I volunteered, and they put me to work. They asked me to give a presentation to a group of people explaining the benefits that I received from having student leadership, taking a leadership role. And I presented to a bunch of people whom I don't remember all of them, but it was interesting. We played a little game at the start. It was kind of like bingo. You had to match up the person with their description, and found out some interesting things about some people. But I was able to present at that. And shortly after that, I was invited to be the first student athletic director for the activities program, which is now the position of competitive sports area director. So I got that over the summer. I went home and worked and kind of corresponded back and forth a little bit. Then we showed up in the fall ready to start this activities program, this athletics program. I remember we had an information meeting. We invited anyone that was interested in participating in some kind of sport to show up to this meeting. And we had our advisors there, and I was quite comfortable because I, for some reason, thought the advisors were going to take control of that meeting. But as we got there, they're like, okay, you're in charge. So I got up in front and prayed with all my heart that I would say the right things and the Lord would lead me. And it was very, very reassuring to know that the Lord was there to answer my prayers and to help me answer the questions. And the advisors were there to back me up as I needed it. So my experiences here have really helped me grow and develop. And a quote from Elder Bruce C. Hafen, who was the 11th president of Ricks College, he gave this quote in an interview that's actually on the campus homepage right now. It's on a steady upward course. It's a series of interviews with some of the past presidents of Ricks College. He said, when he was asked about his experience, what Ricks College did for him in his life, he said, "Your Ricks College years are going to be the Kirtland like the Kirtland in the history of the church. You will draw strength from the Kirtland in your life." And it made me think, it's like, well, what happened in Kirtland that will help us? You know, what happened that really helped the saints? So here's a rundown of a few of the things that happened in Kirtland. 65 of the revelations in the Doctrine and Covenants were received in the Kirtland area. They formed the school of the prophets. The law of consecration was received and instituted. Joseph Smith organized the first presidency, the Quorum of the 12, and the first Quorum of the 70. He organized Zion's camp and had those experiences. From there, they called the first missionaries to England, and that was the first foreign mission overseas. They built the first temple in this dispensation. And at that temple, Christ, Moses, Elias, Elijah appeared and restored keys of the priesthood to Joseph Smith. So as I read through those, to be around and witness those kinds of things in Kirtland must have given the saints the strength they needed to endure the challenges and persecutions that they had, you know, over the next few years. So if I compare that to my life, how is Ricks College or BYU Idaho, how is that the Kirtland in my life? So I started thinking, you know, what are the things that have benefited me in my life? I've received revelation in my life while I was here at BYU Idaho. I found my wife and found out who I should marry. The Lord revealed to me what I should major in. The Lord revealed the Lord's plan for me, what I should do with my life. I got to receive a great education, and I was strengthened. I strengthened my testimony in the law of tithing and the law of consecration. And I received a personal witness of the Lord's calling of prophets and apostles. With the announcement that Ricks College would no longer have intercollegiate athletics, we had the opportunity to meet with Elder Bednar, who was the president of Ricks College at that time, and interact with him in a couple different times through athletics and through home evenings and a few other things. And I know that the Lord calls the prophet and the apostles. I also know the excitement and blessings of building a temple. I've pretty much been around here since 2000 in this area, and the announcement of the temple being built here was really incredible, and to watch it be built and that now to be able to attend the temple and receive the blessings are there are very, very important in my life. And I've also had the power and privilege of holding the priesthood and serving in the priesthood and blessing others there. So those are some of the Kirtland experiences I've had in my life that have benefited me. And I relate the foundation I had previous to coming here to an experience of the Utah Pioneers. When they began building the foundation of the Salt Lake Temple, they used sandstone blocks, and it took them 5 years to build the 8-foot-deep foundation. And then they heard that soldiers were coming. So the saints covered the foundation with dirt to hide it. And when the dirt was later cleared off, the foundation had cracked and shifted. So the saints knew that the cracked foundation could not support the temple, so they removed the sandstone foundation and replaced it with large blocks of granite. When the strong foundation was in place, workers began building the walls of the temple. That replacement of sandstone with a granite foundation is why I am at BYU Idaho. It took my sandstone foundation and changed it to a granite foundation. So the real question is, why do I participate in competitive sports? I mentioned earlier that I was the director and I officiated in this program. I've also coached a few times, but I've never participated as a player. I mentioned earlier that I've always wanted to coach, and mainly because, again, I didn't have the potential to really go on and make a living playing sports. So I wanted to give back from what I learned from sports. And I've always looked up and respected great coaches, one of which is John Wooden. And here are a few examples of why I've looked up to John Wooden. There's a few quotes from former players. The first one from Bill Walton. He said, "The skills he taught us on the court," talking about John Wooden, "were teamwork, personal excellence, discipline, dedication, focus, organization, and leadership are some of the tools that you need in the real world Coach showed us how these skills are transferable. He wasn't just teaching us about basketball. He was teaching us about life. And then there was one shared by Elder Werthlin. It said, John Wooden was perhaps the greatest college basketball coach in the history of the game. He had 4 full undefeated seasons. His team won 10 national championships. At one point, he had a streak of 88 consecutive wins. One of the first things Coach Wooden drilled into his players was something his father had taught him when he was a boy growing up on a farm. Don't worry about trying to be better than someone else, his father said. Learn from others, yes, but don't just try to be better than they are. You have no control over that. Instead, try and try very hard to be the best that you can be. That you have control over. And then the quote from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Coach taught us self-discipline and was always his own best example. He discouraged expressing emotion on the court, stressing that it would eventually leave us vulnerable to opponents. And as I did research for this, I found out that in Coach Wooden's 20-whatever plus years of coaching, he received 1 technical foul in his years of coaching. And he claims that he didn't even do anything. It was the fan sitting behind him that said something, but the ref heard it coming from his direction and gave him the technical foul. So he really did exemplify that. He was there in his, he was, you know, what he should be and stood for what he should be. So there are great lessons for us to learn, and Coach Wooden taught his players, and we can learn from this, that we need to control the natural man. And we know that the natural man is an enemy to God. And the primary sin that the natural man has is pride. President Monson tells us where to look to start to change this natural man. He said, "No temptation, no pressure, no enticing can overcome us unless we allow such. If we make the wrong choice, we have no one to blame but ourselves." President Brigham Young once expressed this truth by relating it to himself. Said he, "If Brother Brigham shall take a wrong track and be shut out of the kingdom of heaven, no person will be to blame but Brother Brigham. I am the only being in heaven, earth, or hell that can be blamed." He continued, "This will equally apply to every Latter-day Saint. Salvation is an individual operation." Competitive sports is a way for us to learn to control ourselves. President Uchtdorf in the last general conference talked about sports a little bit. He said, "Perhaps there is no better laboratory to observe the sin of pride than in the world of sports. I have always loved participating in and attending sporting events, but I confess there are times when the lack of civility in sports is embarrassing." When I was in grade 8, my family moved to a different town for the winter for my dad's work, and it was a town that didn't have very many members. And being that I participated in sports, I went out for the basketball team and was actually selected as one of the team captains. And during a game, I can remember letting the natural man kind of take control of myself at a point. And I realized at that point that if I let the natural man have control over me, I won't be able to perform to the best of my ability, and I won't be able to be an example that I should be. And the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, comes to mind. It says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." And through the experience of competitive sports, we have the opportunity to live in this laboratory, to prove ourselves on a regular basis and see whose side we're on. And I know that the opportunity we've been blessed with to participate here and challenge ourselves to grow and develop will be a blessing in our lives. And I want to share my testimony with you that the experiences here will be a Kirtland in your life. They will strengthen you. And that if you use the principles Elder Anderson gave to study the scriptures, to pray, and to worship and to serve one another, it'll be a blessing in your life, and you'll be given the opportunity to grow and develop and become a disciple of Christ. And I share that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.